Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Hey, you cool cats and kittens. It's two fanboys and a filthy casual back at you once again. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
And this is Harold.
It has been another week. What's
Lewis? Why are you laughing?
I know.
I'm sorry, I'm still getting over your... Hey, cool cats and kittens.
I think that's the way we should start the podcast right now, dude. It's so hip and so relevant right now.
We should change it so that we don't get copyrighted.
As long as we don't go and hire somebody to go to Florida, we're okay. You know?
I think we're fine.
So
if we name it Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual Entertainment, we're okay.
Then it's slightly different.
So if you are lost and confused about what we're talking about right now, don't worry about it. It's going to be apparent. And if you do, and if you're laughing along with it, then you must be one of those millions that are stuck at home, and the only thing that you can find is Netflix specials. And so today that's going to be our main focus. We're going to be talking about one of the more interesting TV, or not, is it even called TV show anymore? Netflix
streaming
specials. Yeah, streaming specials, I guess you can call. And we're going to be talking about Joe Exotic. But before we do that, our favorite portion of the podcast is, of course, Lewis's, you know, it's always Lewis's like little shtick. So go ahead, Lewis, your shtick. Go for it.
It's little, but it's consistent. So, you know, that's what counts.
Yeah.
So for my weekly shtick, let's go into potpourri. Dennis had a great conversation, or, you know, had a great topic on the side about what we've been up to in this time of quarantine. But thankfully, you know, both Harold, Dennis, and I found some pretty fun alternatives to just chatting and doing the Zoom thing online. One of which was introduced by by Harold to a bunch of our friends, and we thought we had a pretty good time trying it out. It's called House Party. Harold, how did you find out about this app actually, and how, you know, where did you get about this this thing?
Well, as you guys know, I do have another set of friends, and those set of friends are apparently...
He calls it Friends Prime, right? By the way, that yes. I've seen his Facebook feed.
No, you guys are, you know, the other guys.
Jeez, dude.
But no, they introduced me to the app a couple weeks back when the whole quarantine thing started. And it was weird because we had just started doing this for our podcast where we have the Zoom app here. And like Dennis uses for, you know, meetings and stuff. And most people have been thinking these things are fun, but there has to be a way for, you know, to somehow play games with each other in meeting apps just like this. And so a company was already started called House Party, and, you know, a bunch of people just found it and they were like, hey, this is what we're going to play. And it's just kind of the most convenient thing to have here. But it's weird. It's not weird to me, but it's also strange because these games in real time, not a lot of people would have, like, I mean, we would probably do it, but like other groups of friends wouldn't really have like a Pictionary night or a board games night. But you have this app that gives everybody the ability to start playing these games with each other across from, you know, whatever location you just happen to be at.
It's pretty funny that, you know, it's really simple games. But for some reason, it was actually, I wouldn't call it addictive, but I think the fact where we are, the situation that we're in, the time right now, it was actually pretty fun. It was actually pretty entertaining, especially since it, you know, especially our session last time, you know, it was us, and then my daughter got into it and was able to have, you know, a lot of fun. I was surprised at how smoothly everything went. There was only one time where Harold pretended to log out, you know, like break out and leave. But for the most part, I thought it worked really well. Lou?
Yeah, I was actually really pleasantly surprised at how many people this app can hold. You know, at our session, we were able to have six friends at the same time playing the draw app. Personally, I also played with my family. We had up to, I think, five people. able to play in real time. And like Dennis said, there's little to, you know, a little bit of lag, but nothing noticeable. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I mean, this is a really great alternative to do at a whim. You know, you don't really need to set anything up or go on, you know, get a Zoom app per se or do anything like that. You can just kind of, you download the app, you find some friends, and you quote unquote wave at them. And if they're available, just play a quick game or two. And it's crazy. It's only 4 games right now. I mean, is there like a premium version of it that we get like more games each, do you know, or is it just like more than?
I haven't really explored outside of anything what they have on the current screen, I guess. Like for me, I love trivia games, so there's a ton of trivia stuff. And as getting my friends are getting really pretty mad at me because I was literally winning every single trivia thing. We played a Harry Potter one. You know me, I know nothing about the Harry Potter universe. Somehow I ended up winning that one because, you know, strategy. And they also have Heads Up, you know, the whole Ellen DeGeneres game.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also like their version of Apples to Apples or Cards Against Humanity, where it's like you have the group decide if they want to, you know, like there's a subject and everyone pick. It's kind of, if you played Cards Against Humanity or if you guys have played Apples to Apples, it's kind of a game like that.
Gotcha. Lou, you and I were able to try another app. You want to talk about it?
Absolutely. So on the other side of, you know, online gaming, now we were, Dennis and I and another friend, Alan, another listener and fan of our podcast, were able to try out a program called Tabletopia. So it's a website, you know, it's not quite like House Party where it's an easy app where you can upload and all that good stuff. You know, Tabletopia is something you probably should play on a laptop, but the gimmick is they have a bunch, like in the thousands, I want to say. I was only able to kind of peruse their library for a little bit, but they had a couple of like 1,000 tabletop games. So these are not like, you know, you have your traditional chess and checkers and all that good stuff, but they also have a lot of those high-end you know, board games that a lot of people spend a lot of times on. So yeah, we were able to try it out. You know, myself being the cheap guy, I got the free membership. Our friend and our friend of the podcast, Alan, got in for the premium, which is only $9.99, which is, you know, what is that, a combo at McDonald's nowadays. So he was able to invite Dennis and I. We played a game called Castle Panic. So I thought I had a lot of fun. What did you think, Dan?
I thought it was really good. It was interesting, though. I think you and I, at the very beginning, so for those people who've never seen it, like Harold, it really is, they recreate an actual tabletop game. You know, cards are there, die are there, you know, dice are there and everything. And you get to manipulate it, to pick it up, to throw it. It was interesting that, you know, there's like weird physics going on, but where you could actually throw the dice, which I actually did at one point, you know. But what's interesting is that it really is just that somebody recreated a board game, but nothing else. There's no like logic to it. There's no like AI or anything like that. It's you and the other players manipulated as if you are actually playing a board game. So like I think the first couple of turns, Lewis and I were kind of like staring at it going, will it calculate the damage? Will it move by itself? No. Like we actually had to physically move every single piece, roll every single die, pick up every card. So there was some glitch, you know, I think one big glitch, and hopefully we figured out how to do it. But one big glitch was that, you know, we couldn't shuffle the deck, which in real life, it should be easy. But this one, you know, like, how do you shuffle? There's no, like, we couldn't figure it out. But the game itself, do you remember what the name of the game was, Lewis?
It's called Castle Panic.
Yeah, Castle Panic. It was pretty fun. You know, I didn't realize that we were there for 2 hours or at least
close. Yeah, but that's crazy. Because yeah, we started our session at 8 and we won, quote unquote, at 10 o'clock. So yeah, that's time flew.
So yeah, Harold, we're just waiting for Lewis to actually like pony up $9.99 because he just said that that's just one you know, combo.
That's one combo at McDonald's.
But that's like my strategy. 1/7th of Animal Crossing that you still haven't bought, Lewis.
That's like five combos, dude. that's Dinner at Islands, man.
Can we go into that for just a second? I know that we discussed this a little bit last week, but from my friends that I've been talking to recently, you can't find the Nintendo Switch anywhere.
Nope.
Really? Really? Okay, I didn't know that. I haven't looked at that section of the grocery. You know, I haven't really gone out, but yeah.
Did you say the groceries?
Yeah, I do the groceries like real quick nowadays. It's like, just go get like, in, get out.
3 weekends ago, before Newsom and Garcetti like set up the actual like official like stay at home protocols, my wife and I actually went to Target, and you know, we were just walking around. And the one of the people there were actually saying, you know, sir, do you have a Switch? And they were like, no, man, there's no Switch. There's no Switches available. And he was like, you can go to any Target store. You're not going to be able to find it. And,
wow.
You know, it really is just because, you know, people started seeing what was going to happen. And they were like, okay, we need to find something to buy, you know.
So it's toilet paper and Nintendo Switches. Got it. Yeah.
So, hey, Harold,
I like your interaction.
Go ahead, Lou.
I was gonna say, I like your interaction too, Ben. It's like, you got any Switches, man?
Harold, I have my yellow Switch. If you want to borrow it, we can do like a I'll leave it outside, and then you just like.
But then I would still have to buy Animal Crossing, though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
If those Switches are gone,
I love the fact that I'm offering you to use a Switch, and you're like, yeah, I still need to buy something.
No, not for me, because you know,
what a jerk. Call of Duty, such a Lewis.
Is it okay? I know that we asked this last week a little bit. Do you think this is a game that I would actually be into?
For you. I think it's one of those situational things where, like for me, like I don't know if I told, I think I mentioned it, but I wake up right like maybe an hour before I have to get up and get my class ready, and so like 6:45 I'm up, and I'm doing all my Animal Crossing chores and everything, and it's just really like for me it's entertaining like. There's no action involved, so I'm gonna lean towards maybe not.
But I was playing. I have The Sims here on my PS4, like Sims 4, and yeah, I guess there wasn't enough first-person shooting in The Sims.
Yeah, no.
So
so you know, if you want to spend 30 minutes. Digging up some clams and then making it into and then fishing. And if that sounds appealing to you, then get Animal Crossing. If not, don't.
You know what? I think I might give this a chance.
Harold does like the clams.
I do. I love the vanilla clams.
He loves them some oysters.
Flavor, dude.
Yeah. The saltier, the better.
The brininess. I think the umami.
Sometimes it's got to squirt back at you, though. Make sure it's alive.
Interesting enough, that's how you find manila clams in the game.
No way, dude. Liar, damn it.
Hey, buy the game. See if I'm playing
it. See what's lies and what's
okay, true. How about this? How about we do this? How about I buy the game if I don't like it? Lewis can buy it from me.
At a discount?
Just for that, I'm going to up the price. Wait. You said there was a... For the Lite, is it a digital download?
Yeah, you can do a digital download, yeah.
Yeah, because saying that the Switches are gone from the stores, though, I think I'm pretty sure those games are probably gone now, too, dude.
What if I just borrow Dennis's Switch and then I just sell it?
It wouldn't be the worst thing you've done in your life.
It's not the worst thing that's happened to Dennis this year, you know. I know it's only April, but you know
2020 has been pretty bad. As long as you don't kidnap me and and hold me for ransom or something like that, I'd be like, eh, okay.
Could be worse.
Is my lung still working? Okay.
Good.
Okay, not to get sidetracked, we started off this episode kind of talking about the fact that, you know, we have been sheltered in place for, is it the third week now? Like, everything's just been like...
I've lost track of time, dude.
Yeah.
Is it Christmas yet? I don't know.
It turns out it's April already. It's kind of weird.
Jesus.
I know. And yes, Jesus is rising in less than a week, so... Or in a week or so. So, yay, Jesus.
Jesus.
Before we talk about Jesus, we're going to talk about another person with a mullet. No? Terrible segue or what?
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
A couple weeks ago, Harold, you introduced us to a very interesting Netflix special. I have to tell you, when... You told us about it. I completely ignored it because I thought it was ridiculous and I thought it was stupid, but you made us watch it. So thank you, I guess.
Maybe.
Who knows? So Harold, why don't you tell everybody about, kind of do an introduction. Most likely everybody who listens to this podcast knows about it anyway, but you know, just a quick recap of it. And I guess we're going to review the Netflix special then.
Yeah, so if you guys, since everybody is pretty much in quarantine nowadays, we know that entertainment in its forms are there's lots of different options that everybody has. But for some reason, a series that came out a couple of weeks ago has taken the world by storm. And it was, if you were brave enough to ignore it, then kudos to you. But for the rest of us who just had to have that curiosity fixed, we got hooked on a series on Netflix called The Tiger King. And if you don't know about The Tiger King, it's really kind of easy to explain, but at the same time, very, very much a difficult thing to, you know, center on exactly what made the whole story so entertaining. So I think Lou's views is kind of, well, I don't know if he wants to be realistic.
I can try. It's actually kind of fresh in my head because I just finished the last episode like 2 hours ago.
Okay.
Are we having a Lou's views in COVID-19?
So let's go for it, I guess. Yeah, let's do Lou's reviews for Tiger King, documentary train wreck that you just cannot turn away from. So the documentary, it's a documentary, like Harold already said. So it's a lot of reality TV shots. It's centered around, it centers around one guy, Joe Exotic, the show is more or less about the crazy culture of big cat culture, yeah. I guess is what it is. So I guess in the South or in the Bible Belt in Oklahoma, Florida and whatnot, there are several characters, people who have these huge, you know, sanctuaries for big cats, big cats and exotic animals. So we are introduced to Joe Exotic. We're also introduced to his antagonist, Carol Baskin, and her husband, Howard Baskin, and their refuge called the Big Cat Rescue. We're also introduced to Bhagavan Antil, who is a white dude who is the most Indian guy, I guess, in North and South Carolina. You know, we're also introduced to Joe Exotic's cast of staff. You know, we have Kelsey Safrey, who we find out how she, you know, she has one arm, and we meet through the show how she lost that arm, unfortunately.
He actually.
We also meet Joe. Huh?
He's a
he. I'm sorry. Okay. Right. Yes. I think you're right. I read about that, but unfortunately the internet or so, my myself included, has mislabeled Heat. Series, Joe Exotic and his zoo goes through a lot of ups and downs, like I said, antagonizing Carol and her staff of friends and other people. But the biggest twist comes when we find out that, you know, these people obviously are not as clean cut as they think they are. So besides Joe Exotic antagonizing Carol through threats on the internet, posting videos of, you know, harming her and whatnot. And then a twist halfway through the season happens when we find out that Carol herself is not as clean cut as her animal sanctuary is to be, because lo and behold, Harold's got a hot take on this later, but Carol Baskin's ex-husband, a millionaire, conveniently enough, has gone missing for the last 10 years.
Yep.
No sign or signal of him ever, nor his money. So, but all signs point to Carol being the, being guilty of it, but, you know, she's still out there. Anyway, we also find out that Joe, so this documentary was shot during a 5-year period. We find out that Joe is currently, unfortunately, in jail and this is towards the end of the documentary, for attempted murder. Or was it attempted murder?
No.
Help me out here.
A murder for hire.
Right. So he, you know, we find out, again, I guess that's the strength of this documentary, is it's left to the watcher to kind of decide, is he or is he not guilty? But, you know, he is accused of basically hiring an assassin to try to get rid of Carol Baskin because of the unfortunate turmoil that his business and his life has gone through. So that was the most disjointed lose views I've had in a while. But, you know, I think it's appropriate for the show, which is, like I said, a train wreck, but you just can't keep your eyes off of it. So, lose views.
Lose views.
Where do you even start?
Well, I'll start off this. I actually didn't realize, like I told you, like when Harold talked about it, and when you guys were talking about it, I was like, what the hell is a Joe Exotic? I was like, I've never heard of this character. And then after the first episode, I was like, this guy sounds familiar, looks familiar. Why does this guy look familiar to me? And then there was that clip of John Oliver doing an interview talking about Joe Exotic running for president. And I was like, oh crap, I have seen this guy before. I distinctly remember watching it and going, oh my God, the South, or that part of the country is just totally crazy. There's people in the world like this. And lo and behold, it was actually Joe Exotic. So I honestly don't know how we're going to discuss this, but there were a couple of points that I kind of wanted to talk about. The one I wanted to kind of focus on is the one thing that I zoomed in on at the very beginning was how this reminded me of Leah Remini's series on Scientology.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the things that fascinated me was the culture of it, where each and every single one of them, whether it's Doc Ansel, whether it's Joe Exotic, whether it's Carol Baskin, they basically have a cult in their hands.
Yeah. One of the points, or one of the stories that really, really spoke out to me, was the whole Seth getting his arm bitten off, right? A very traumatic moment. Joe Exotic literally goes into his gift shop and he's like, before you hear it anywhere else to, like, you know, guests and whatnot, he's like, before you hear it anywhere else, one of our trainers or one of our workers got their arm bitten off. So if you want like a rain check, or if you want a refund, you know, you're free to get one. And Seth goes back to work within a week because he doesn't want any other kind of scrutiny to be brought in upon the zoo. And I was like, dang, that kind of dedication. Like, if I get a splinter, I'll probably take like a week off. You know what I mean? Like, my boss doesn't have that kind of power over me where, if a situation goes where it makes the company look bad, then I'm going to have to go out of my way to, you know, after suffering like life-threatening injuries, be like, no, I'm back to work because that's what's going to be best for the company.
Yeah. The one that really captivated me was Carole Baskin, because before the revelation that Lewis kind of talked about how Carol's husband disappeared, at the first part of it, it looked like Carol was like this clean cut lady. She was the victim of all this. But then when Joe started talking about, that Carol has her own cult, there were a couple of things I remember. They were talking about how each person that volunteered had a shirt, and they were color coded, and each color was a distinction of how long you've been there.
Yeah,
you need to be there for a while in order for you to move up, and it reminded me of like the levels in Scientology.
Yeah, the Thetan levels. Yeah. So they have like different shirts that say, you know, I've been here for X amount of time, so you can almost finally pay me, but not quite.
Exactly. Good point, Harold. There was that one lady who was talking about how she doesn't get paid, but then she talked about how Christmas, she still needs to work there.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
I mean, their
whole... What was crazy to me, too, about the whole, aptly enough, the episode title for that one was called Cult of Personality. So like what stuck out to me besides your guys' observations was a lot of these people that Joe and Teal and even Carol brought into their circle were young, impressionable, and they also mentioned how they were broke. So it's like it's almost like predatory, isn't it? Like, these people have no, these people ran away or they're not, which unfortunately, I guess it is kind of like, it's a tragedy in a lot of senses, because both Carol, they explained that she was married at like 16 or 17 and she was, raped and abused when at a young age. Joe himself, came out as gay to his parents. And, that kind of struck me off the first episode when he said his dad, brought him. And I think it was Joe Exotic's story, excuse me. Brought Joe in front of his family and said in front of everybody, when I die, I don't want Joe at my funeral because he's gay. It was like, wow. So, and unfortunately it's, in this story, it felt almost like a cycle because it's a little bit predatory, but Joe, Carol and Teal and all of them were very guilty of basically like sniping and looking for these young impressionable men and women who had no, nowhere to go per se, but they had, these guys were, presenting some kind of a sanctuary. Ironically enough, it wasn't just a sanctuary for animals at this point. It was a sanctuary for these young lost souls, basically. And it made me like super queasy. I think I already mentioned to you guys, like when this show started going viral a couple weeks ago, my wife and I tried watching an episode and a half. And that episode really made us cringe to the point of like, I don't think we can finish this because it just felt so uncomfortable. We have kids ourselves and it makes me scared of like, dude, what if there's some creepy predator out there like appealing to my boys about like, hey, this is that. So I was like, it was weird. But you know what? I'm glad I sat through the rest of it just to say that we did it and it's been done. But yeah, anyway, that's my take.
I agree with you, Lewis. It definitely is clear cut grooming. Every single person. I mean, what's the person's name? What's Joe's second husband's name again?
Travis.
Travis Maldonado.
Yeah, you have like an 18-year-old from California, broke, has a drug problem, and there's no way for this guy to survive unless he has somebody to take care of him. And that's where Joe came in, and it's scary to think, and it's each and every single one of them. I mean, even I was trying to figure out why you called him Bhagavan, but you're talking about Doc Antle, right?
Yes, Doc Antle. Sorry, I was looking at that. Yeah,
Shaktipat. I believe his nickname was Shaktipat with a penis.
Yes, that was it.
And the fact that you have somebody who was hiring 18-year-old blonde nubile women, and that lady who left You know, and again, just reminded me of like the Scientology in Leia Remini, where, you know, in order for him to, for her to get a, you know, all the other wives had like houses and like property and everything. And then she had like a, she was talking about an apartment full of like rats and cockroaches. And the only way, you know, as long as she sleeps with him, that she's going to be able to move up to a better house. You know, there's that one scene again, that same lady talked about how she didn't want to have breast augmentation. And then she ended up getting breast augmentation. And she's like, I don't remember saying yes to it.
But remember she said it was like the nicest thing. Yeah, she got to sleep, actually.
she got to rest it off. That's the most time she's had off. That is insane to me.
You know what's funny is that guy, out of all of the three, they try to make him to be like the least, apparently they make him the least evil out of the three of them from that story.
It's a low bar. It's a low bar.
But for me, like the fact that he has like giant acres of land and has a ton of people living there and like basically his own harem and not having to pay any of these people to, you know, be his girlfriends or wives, like he probably is the most despicable out of the three of them.
It's arguable.
But the funny thing is, so do you know what happened just like a couple of weeks ago, right after the documentary came out?
With Doc Ansel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got raided.
No, there's another thing. Just recently.
What happened?
He was on a Superstar's Instagram page.
Which Superstar?
That would be The Undertaker.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah, so the Undertaker went to visit him, and then he took pictures of him and the tigers in a pool and whatnot. The pictures went viral.
I saw Undertaker's pictures because it is WrestleMania season, so everything wrestling is like making it on the main Instagram search page. But I didn't know those Antilles tigers. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and then remember his name is Doc because he's a doctor of the mythical arts.
he is discount Doctor Strange, I guess.
he's like a anti-Craven dude.
He is Kirkland Brand.
He has cravings, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he's got those different kind of cravings.
Let's talk about Joe Exotic himself. I mean, you know, because that guy is a character and a half. I mean, there's no way for that guy to be alive in real. Like, he has to be like a caricature of somebody. Like, you know, Joe Dirt. Who like if Joe Dirt likes tigers, then that's him at that point.
That's him. No, you're right, dude. Like the first episode, like you said, off the bat, like you cannot help but think like this has to be a character. But I guess, you know, he's not. He's a real flesh and blood dude with crazy ego issues and, you know, all that crazy stuff. And he's got a look. I think that's the funny thing about this whole thing is, you know, I had a case of FOMO before Harold told us to watch this before we decided this will be our episode. Because, you know, yeah, on Twitter, on Instagram, the memes. Yeah. Yes.
For somebody not cool, what is FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Okay.
Fear of missing out.
Okay, because I never want anybody to call you a FOMO, just so you know.
Yeah, Dennis for a second thought it was a FOMO. He thought it was a fake Mo, you know. Mo.
I am the realest Mo there is, all right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you are.
Lewis is a flaming Mo. Let's go.
Me and Abe Lincoln, Mo's.
Okay, so FOMO, go ahead. Now,
well, yeah, so like,
now we know.
Yes, now you know.
Now you know. Because I knew that already.
So you go on social media because, like Carol's already mentioned, nobody's going anywhere anytime soon. And you see all the memes, you see all the jokes. Like we're in a bunch of chats, and people are sharing pictures on that thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's funny, but like what's the appeal? And like I said, it's, I think that's my theme for today's episode, is that it's just a train wreck that you just cannot keep your eyes off of. Like from the pierced eyebrow to the curly mullet to whatever it is that, you know, whatever he does, it is he's wearing on his tours, is this, you can't help but watch him kind of feel bad, but at the same time, kind of like, it is almost like Joe Dirt. At the end of Joe Dirt, you're rooting for the dude, even though he is kind of like a hot mess. You're still rooting for Joe Exotic to kind of like get over this and get over his demons and hopefully, you know, come out on top. But, you know, spoilers for those who haven't seen it, but unfortunately, it doesn't end too well for him.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you remember the way he became Joe Dirt, the way he became Joe Exotic. He started off as a drug prevention speaker. He decided to use magic. And when that didn't work, he started using animals. And then after that, he was like, oh, animals work better. I'm going to do animals.
Did you hear the... So the series ends the series goes and you find out that Joe Exotic is actually calling in from a correctional facility because he's been imprisoned, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened today?
No. What happened?
Just today?
I don't know if it's a joke. It might be. It might not be. It's not. Today's not April Fool's. But apparently, he's one of the people that has contracted the coronavirus.
Oh, dude.
Not Joe.
So it's like
from all the animals and the metal and all the other stuff that he's doing.
he's in prison, and they're saying that I don't know. We can't go into too much scientific detail because we really don't know what we're talking about when it comes to this kind of thing. But and it might just be a joke. It might be a gag. But people are like, the things that just keep happening. It just keeps happening to Joe because he's a magnet.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. If he's not a magnet, he's going out there and getting it, dude. Because let's be perfectly honest, a lot of his troubles, especially with Carol Baskin and the whole Big Cat Rescue, he could have probably avoided if he took Kirk's advice, the TV producer, if he took good advice and just, dude, relax.
No need to really mince words. Everything bad that happened to him happened because of him. Like the whole Big Cat Rescue thing, him trying to steal the copyright, him not want to back down and saying, okay, if you're going to take my things, I'm just going to blow everything up. He's literally like saying that he's above the law in all these kind of deals. And that, that's his whole persona. And his whole persona is he's like some kind of a weird rebel that people were supposed to be looking up to. That's why he was supposed to be a good, presidential candidate, a good gubernatorial candidate. But in reality, he's just some moron that just happened to be pretty good with animals and just lucked into so many things. But and then at the same time, did all those negative things on himself, like the whole murder hire kind of thing. Why? What did she do? That he doesn't have to sue her, or she doesn't have to sue him. If he's not a moron and he can just be like, all right, you got me, or do your thing and I'll do my thing and let's just do our things separately.
Like she's all the way in Florida. He's in Oklahoma. In theory, they could have lived in their own little bubbles without any of this happening. But nah, homie took full advantage of social media and the internet shooting actual dolls of Carol on live TV where everybody can find it. And turns out does not look good in front of a grand jury. it does not tell a good story.
When the evidence is pretty apparent, as in there's some kind of evidence, like, video or
audio.
Video or everything saying, oh, I'm really going to do this. You kind of screw yourself in a corner there.
What's funny though is that I was watching or reading an article today, and they were like, the one of the Netflix producers was like, you know, one thing that everybody has to know is that we actually edited a lot of things to make Joe look better than what he really is.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
It turned out that he was a big, fat racist, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So
I
really.
Go ahead, Harold.
No. I saw some of those clips where it's like, I don't know, the one clip that's all over the internet where it's like, how come I can't say the N-word? And I'm like, Jesus, bro. Yeah. Like,
yikes.
So maybe it wasn't a good idea to make him some kind of the protagonist in this series somewhat. Because, well,
that's the thing, that there was nobody you could root for. At least make the guy who was at least kind of sympathetic, I guess.
No, just pathetic.
What else do you guys want to talk about regarding Joe Exotic here?
Well, I don't know, dude. That guy, I hope he gets help wherever he's at now. If he does not have, you know, if he's contracted this virus already, on top of all the dramas he's gone through already. You know, it's crazy to me how quickly he kind of fell. And I mean, I guess that's the dramatic tension of this whole show, is how it sets him up as like the guy in this exotic animal market or niche, and becomes another guy in jail, unfortunately. So tough 180 for the guy.
I got a quick question for you guys before we. After having this, watch the whole series, what is the most memorable part of the series that you will never forget?
Memorable in what way?
In either way, really good or really bad.
For me, it was knowing that Maldonado was going to die.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about that. That was a crazy. Crazy exchange scene. Yeah. I don't know what do you even call that, dude.
Like one thing I really liked about the special was that I was going to talk about it later, but I thought it was well produced. I thought it was well written. The way they paced everything was pretty good. But so much so that when they started focusing on him and the way they were talking, I was like, oh crap, he's going to die, isn't he? And then when all of a sudden when we find out that he accidentally shoots himself, I was like, whoa. That I had to kind of like stop and pause for that one.
I agree, dude. Okay, it must have been a universal thing, because I did the same thing. We were watching it on my tablet. My wife and I are trying to work from home. Don't tell my work. But, you know, that scene happens where it's a CCTV shot of, I can't remember the worker's name, who was watching Travis put the Ruger or the gun into his head, saying, oh, it can't shoot if it doesn't have a magazine. And then you just see the guy go like, and both my wife and I are like, wait, what just happened? So we just have to rewind it and live through the whole thing again. And that was insane to me. You're obviously a lot brighter than I am, because I did not figure that, yes, of all the people in this cast, Travis was the only one who did not have a sit down interview, which in retrospect makes a lot of sense. Cause like, well, yeah, duh. He passed away, unfortunately. But that was crazy to me. And, you know, unfortunately, again, not that everything, well, I guess it does kind of revolve around Joe Exotic, but it's another, you know, it's indicative to Joe's, like, I don't know what it is. So is he a sociopath or whatnot? The fact that he gets married in 2 days after Travis gets, after Travis's funeral?
2 months.
That's not a good look. That's crazy to me. Was it two days or 2 weeks?
No,
2 weeks, right?
It's two months.
Okay, it's not good either. But, I mean,
so I'm gonna
somebody after you break up is one thing, but after you bury your husband and marrying somebody else, that's still not good.
I'm gonna go off of that and say the thing that I remember most about this is the fact that in a series of events after you said his youngest husband commits accidental suicide or whatnot. He sings at his husband's funeral, and then he tells stories about how, like, he basically tricked him into marrying him in front of his mother. and then C or three, I don't know, whatever sequence I'm going with, to have his mother as the only witness at his new wedding.
Yeah, that was, ooh. Oh man, that's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking for the mom. And the mom, you know, thankfully the mom figured it out. Well, not thankfully, but unfortunately figured out after the fact. The only reason she was invited was so that it looks good on the papers that, oh, Travis's mom was cool with it. When she was, you know, under the auspices that, oh, it's going to be a ceremony, so everybody's going to be there. There was no reason for her to be there otherwise. So, yeah, I don't know what that is, man. There's got to be some kind of diagnosis for that, dude.
The other memorable thing for me, I guess it's a moment, and again, kudos to the producers of the special, but it was so well written. Like I said, Carol Baskin seemed like the victim. When all of a sudden in the episode, you at a certain point, I was like, she's guilty. You know, that feeling of that realization of, unless this is like totally doctored, there's no way that this person did not have anything to do with her husband's death.
Disappearance, quote unquote, by the way. Which is, yeah, that's got to be one of the craziest episodes in an already insane season where we, yeah, like Dennis was saying, you know, she was one, you know, maybe one shirt color away from being PETA herself. But we find out that, you know, her millions are this huge ranch and all this money that she's using to help, quote unquote, these big animals came from a dead husband. That was so crazy to me, dude. That's nuts to me. Of all the people on this crazy cast of animal people, she was the last person I thought that would be like this guilty. I mean, she has to be guilty. I mean, but I guess that's the power of a documentary is, you know, they pose a question, but they don't really set it up, or, you know, they give you the facts and it's up to the viewers to kind of figure out what happened.
Yeah, I in actuality, that storyline was kind of how I got into the series. Was so many people on Twitter and Facebook saying, oh, that lady totally killed her husband. And I was like, what is everybody talking about? And then when I finally saw it, I was like, they can't be talking about the same lady. And then, you know, two episodes later, it's like, oh, she did it. And
she totally did it.
I agree with everybody else. And it's like the whole, we got to find Don Lewis. And I was just like, oh, poor Don Lewis.
I know, dude. That's crazy to me. Yeah, I mean, all the signs point that Carol did it, and you know, Don has been sent into a lion's belly somewhere, or in a worst septic tank, apparently.
That's the worst thing. It's like, did she murder him and then feed him to the tigers?
My favorite argument that she uses is, you know, it's like, I'm paraphrasing, of course, it's like, have you seen my meat grinder?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know,
it reminded me so much, sadly, about, like, you know, during the O.J. Simpson trial, where he was, like, trying to put on the glove, like, oh, I can't make it fit. I'm like, dude, if you really wanted to, you can put your husband in a meat grinder.
If OJ really wanted to fit that glove on, he wouldn't be wearing
it. It would have fit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, apparently Carol had had help from her dad and her brother. So, you know, if a geriatric dude, you know, 20 years older than you, has to get cut up and get thrown into a meat grinder and or be fed to your lions, it's going to get done.
Oh,
yeah.
The fact that the day that Don was reported missing was when she met up in the middle of the street or something like that with her dad and her brother, who was a sheriff or something like that.
Yes.
Not suspicious at all.
At all.
No. You know, nothing leads back to her, apparently.
That's crazy to me. That's nuts. And I was actually, honestly, dude, I was waiting for that, anything, a caption, anything at the end of the series about, if she got a come up her comeuppance or if anything, any karma came back to her. But no. But I guess maybe, you know, being fearful for your own life after the feds tell you that the guy who's threatening you online is actually going to kill you, maybe that's enough for you to, you know, that's enough karma on her head, I guess, you know. Sleepless nights and not being able to ride your favorite bike path anymore because some guy might snipe you.
You've heard, though, the recent news, though. Following up on this. They are thinking of reopening that cold case.
Wow. Oh, no.
Okay, Dennis, was it me or did Lewis just do that in slow motion?
Yeah. It extended so much. It was amazing. Dude.
In our version, it went, wow.
I like that guy in the Travis room.
Yeah, you're a little like Max Headroom right now. I mean, I thought I had like a connection problem, really, but no, it's just that one. It's pretty funny.
Now it's Lewis's connection has gotten worse.
Okay, hold on real quick. I told you guys I was going to tell a really bad joke earlier, and this is something that's going to need a lot of research. Okay. Do you guys know where to find Don Lewis?
Where? Stomach of a tiger?
No. She's hanging with Mr. Cooper.
What? Hold on.
Wait, hold on.
Did the actor Mr. Cooper, get eaten by a tiger also?
Did something happen to Mr. Cooper?
You guys remember the TV show Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Of course.
No.
You don't remember Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
I know the show, but no.
Okay. He had two roommates in the first season. One was Holly Robinson, the other was Don Lewis.
Damn it.
From a different world. So the other joke is, I know where to find Don Lewis, she's in a different world.
There you go. Thank you. There you go.
Please, if somebody likes the joke. Somebody like that joke.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about before we end here?
Quick question. Like, why do you think this show was so appealing? Or why has it become so viral? I know that word doesn't mean the same anymore, but why is it going around? Why, of all the shows on Netflix, Hulu, and everything else is streaming, why is this a show that's made everybody stop and pause and share memes and jokes?
I'll start. First and foremost, COVID-19. we're stuck.
We got nowhere else to go.
But I think what you said a while ago, Harold or Lewis, that it's like a car crash. You know, you don't want to see it happen, but when it happens, you need to kind of look at it and kind of be like, "What is going on?" You know, and I think that's the appeal of it, is that. You know, everybody's talking about it now. Now you want to see what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Like you, Lou, after the first one, I was like, okay, this guy's interesting, but I've seen these documentaries before. I don't understand what's so good about it. But the more it unfolded, and I think that's and again, I've been praising whoever produced it, because each episode kind of left you with wanting more. Like, oh crap, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And you know, by the time the third episode happened, you know, it wasn't me doing it because we needed to talk about it for our episode. It was like, I need to find out if Carol
exactly what it is. I know this is going to sound stupid, cliche, and it's super appropriate, but the whole curiosity killed the cat, where everybody's talking about it. So you're like, what is it about this that everyone seems to be enthralled with? And the thing is, the part that makes you enthralled is because everyone else was enthralled. So it's like, you end up wanting to talk about it. And then, like Dennis said, it's each cliffhanger, like each episode leaves you perfectly where it's like, okay, this was a little nuts. It can't get any worse, can it? And then it does. And then it keeps getting worse. And then you have like people like Jeff Lowe and his fake, you know, Playboy billionaire status. And then he shows up and you're like, oh, he must be a good guy in this. Nope, he's just like everybody else, a bad person. And then you have the guy who probably one of my favorite moments in the whole thing is he talks about like, oh, let me take a break real quick because he's an FBI informant. And then he has a sequence where he's jet skiing to Eye of a Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you question yourself, is this supposed to be a documentary that I'm laughing at, or is this a documentary that is suspenseful and whatnot? And then the crazy thing is, it's everything.
You know, let's kind of touch upon those other characters. I know we focused on the other three, but like though the what was his name? Is Jeff? I forgot his last name.
Jeff Lowe.
Jeff Lowe. There you go. You know, again, another one of those things where it's this questionable person where, at the end, I was kind of like you. I was waiting. I was looking at those the words at the end, and I wanted to see the Jeff Lowe is now under arrest for da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Dennis loves those things at the very – like he talked about this before. It's his favorite thing. It's closure for a series.
And there's nothing. Like
there is hardly anything.
Like the guy that took the money, you know, for the murder for hire did not get anything. No, like slap on the wrist, no nothing.
No, and he's getting interviewed and like, oh, I was gonna do it, but I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Yeah, and I'm now going to do this interview inside my bathtub. And then
you have,
go ahead.
No, I was like, you have like Joe Exotic's other husband, the guy with the jacked up teeth.
Oh yeah.
And then the whole thing where it's like, yeah, he has meth mouth, and they're literally like, oh, he actually had his teeth fixed, but they never focused on that in the after interviews. And it's like, well, that's not the interesting part. No one wants to see the guy with his teeth fixed. You want to see him with the jacked up teeth, being like, oh, I'm still a meth addict. Who's actually not gay anymore and gets women pregnant. So,
well, yeah. Well, even Joe was like, you know, when he would talk about what's messed up is I fell in love with two men who weren't gay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man,
poor Joe. Jeez.
Like, yes. Did Joe deserve everything that he got? Yes. But still, at the end, I really wanted there to be like a silver lining. Like, Joe Exotic is now has now been released or something.
Hopefully, maybe he met someone in jail. Who knows?
I mean, that's kind of the thing that a lot of people are cracking up about too. It's like you have this guy who's like super messed up, yet he still was able to get married to two guys at the same time. And then find another husband like shortly thereafter after one of his husbands accidentally kills himself. And people on the internet are like, how can that good dude be married three times and I got nothing, you know? I mean, not people on the internet. I mean people on the internet. Not me.
Hey, there's an answer to this, Harold. You need a tiger.
Obviously.
I need Jeff Lowe to sneak some into some suitcases and bring them to my rooms in Vegas.
I mean, dude, the fact that there are all those women, like, if we are to believe that all those women that he took photos of are women that he had sex with afterwards, and, you know, and his whole thing is it takes a little P word to get a lot of P word. So there you go, Harold. I'm buying you a cat.
Let's see if I can find Doc and Teal online then, and let's see what we can get there.
I mean, I've seen his Instagram posts. I'm sure we can follow him and, you know.
Yeah, we can just happen to be in Vegas at the same time that he's over there.
Like the fact that Shaq was in the documentary on accident.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Orlando Magic Shaq was a buyer.
That wasn't Orlando Magic Shaq. That was like Phoenix Suns check.
Oh, never mind then. That's later career check, dude.
He was already pretty big Shaq at the time. So
yeah,
and the fact that Shaq has to actually currently deny that he's ever been friends with Joe Exotic or Doc Antle, it's chef's kiss, guys.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to talk about before we end our episode today?
I think we covered a lot about this crazy, crazy ass show, dude.
I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, anybody who's listening, are you interested in watching it now? Or if you have seen it, what made you want to keep watching? That's what I want to know.
Okay, so good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. Good stuff, guys. I really, really, really regret that I wasted, you know, almost 7 hours of my life watching this. But at the same time, it's 7 hours that I'm going to remember, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Harold said, you know, whether or not you liked it, we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear what you thought of it and, you know, whether or not you're going to watch it because of what we talked about. Best way to do this is, you know, to take a look at some of our interweb stuff, our social media stuff. Best way to look at all the old episodes, which, by the way, thank you for the people who actually been listening. It's been interesting. I've been looking at our numbers. They're constantly, there's at least been a couple of people every so often that look at our some of our older stuff, like really old stuff, which is really cool. So thank you for those people. Best way to get all that information is through the Two Fanboys, the Two Fanboys One Casual.podbean.com for all our old episodes. And of course,
on Facebook, you can find us, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there, as well as any fun memes, jokes, internet news that we'll find, we'll post it there as well. Not to mention, feel free to join our Facebook group, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual, with other like-minded fanboys and fangirls making fun, making jokes. Recently, you know, we've had a lot of activity whenever we post, you know, we have some community members post some fun jokes and stuff over there. So a lot of comments, a lot of activity. So yeah, if you're looking for something to do during quarantine, you know, pop in, say hi.
And then both on Instagram and Twitter at Two Fanboys One Casual. And like we always say, you can find us on all your favorite podcast venues, including iTunes, Spotify, Google, so on and so forth. Literally anywhere you can find a podcast, we should be on there.
Well, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed your the episode. You know, one thing that I learned from this episode is or from watching is that I'm now going to go on Google Earth and I'm gonna try to figure out if I can find like a perfect path so that I can stalk Harold and Lewis
from afar.
See what happens.
Are you gonna find out that my running route, it's my driveway, that's all I'm running.
The most dangerous driveway in North Hills, California, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks for telling everyone where I live.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
It's okay.
No, we talked about this. We talked about
about Cobra Kai. Yes. Yeah. Robbie's from where we are. Exactly. I mean, where I am, not where you are.
Dude, how many times have we said that you live like a block away from me?
It's true.
Okay, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Two Fanboys and Philly Casual. This is Dennis.
This is Travis.
Oh,
Travis, why?
Wait, was that a delay or was that Lewis just being like, nah?
Lewis,
this is Harold.